hospital.
Yeah, so, thanks. Hi, my name's Charlie, and I'm an alcoholic. Sorry, I'm suffering from a bit of a cold, so my voice is a bit, a bit nervous, but I'll try to do my best in the shortest possible time, so as not to keep you here for too long. I'm supposed to share a bit about my experience and my strength and hope, and I'll try to do that. I've been around for a little while, and my sobriety date is June 4th of 2002. So it's almost, I've been around for almost 3 years. And sharing now is a lot more difficult for me than it used to be at the beginning. Usually people that I hear share say that it's the other way around. For me, I had an easy time sharing at the beginning because I found that when I came in, it was just a continuation of my life before, which was all image. I was very good at giving a different image of who I really am. So I had an easy time sharing at the beginning. I remember I used to share at a lot of meetings, and I used to like it because I was just sharing. I was just being an actor, you know, and that's why it was easy. But as I came to meetings and did meetings and had to look at myself in an honest way, it became harder to share because I realized that I have some issues and some defects of character, which I never thought I did when I came in. So now it's a bit more difficult to share because I try to share honestly and I try to share from the heart, which is what I have to do to get better. I come from an ethnic family, an Italian background, and I'm a middle child. And I knew there was something wrong with me from the first day I went to school. I always got picked on. I was always sick as a child. I was always picked on. I was always bullied. I was always shy. And, I never talked to any girls in school. So I basically went to school and went home. Went to school, felt totally out of place, couldn't wait to get out of school, and couldn't wait to go home, where I felt safer, you know. So that was my childhood. I always felt that way, all my life. I think I still do, and that's where the facade comes out. The image is to protect that sense of vulnerability that I feel. You know, that's what the image was built over many years, in order to protect that facade or that feeling of vulnerability, you know, that fear of people, that fear of being around people, that fear of intimacy, that fear of sharing real feelings. I think that's where the image comes from. So I felt that way throughout high school, also grade school. Every social situation was always a really difficult situation for me. It was always hard, and I started drinking. You know, I probably started drinking before 16, but I think 16 is the age where I realized that was my solution to the feelings. And I drank from the age of 16 to the age of 37. And I probably drank before that when I was younger. And I don't recall the first time I had a drink. But being from an Italian family, I always helped my dad make wine. And I always had a drink here or there. But at the age of 16 was where I really became dependent, and where I realized that alcohol was a magic potion for me. It took away all those feelings, and it made me feel more at ease being around people. It didn't totally alleviate the discomfort, but I think that it made it a lot easier, made it manageable, you know. And, you know, I want to keep it short, so I'm supposed to show that I qualify. Just to show that I qualify now is just something that I go through briefly, but, you know, I'll tell you that I came from a privileged childhood, not in the sense that we were wealthy, because we weren't, but I was afforded, you know, I was afforded a lot of luxury. You know, I went to school, I have an education, and I achieved some sort of success, both academically and financially. And I think that was another illusion in my mind, that if I achieved financial success and career-wise and with a nice-looking woman beside me, that it would sort of take away the ills that I felt from within. So I was privileged in that sense, because I did go to school. I am educated. I got a doctoral degree. And I was lucky enough to have a career in medical research. And I had a beautiful wife. And I had the material success that I craved so much in order for me to have arrived. I thought that would take away all the ills, and I'd be socially accepted, and I'd be popular. And that didn't happen. It didn't happen. As a matter of fact, it was anticlimactic, I think. It was the opposite, because when I achieved all that, I didn't feel any better. I felt worse. So that's when the alcohol really progressed. It's a progressive disease, and that's where alcohol became the only solution for me, because all of the other things I tried to achieve to take away my uneasiness didn't work. So the last resort was alcohol. So to show that I think I qualify, you know, from the time I received my doctoral degree, it was in mid-90s, and then I was employed in 96 or so at the Montreal General Hospital, and it took maybe 4 or 5 years before I was before I sort of was disgraced in my profession because of alcoholism. So I think that, you know, going from being everything my mother wanted, which was to be successful and married and have a nice house and a nice wife and a nice degree, to, you know, achieving it and being disgraced and sent to rehab by my employers and relapsing shortly thereafter, and the wife leaving and bankruptcy. It was just a matter of 6 or 7 years. So I think that I qualify. And I think we all know what that's like. We all know what we've done to get from that point to that point. I don't have to go through what I've done. I did steal. I did, I did defraud. I did, you know, I did all the things that I had to do in order to drink so that I could get away from my pain. I did all of the things. And now I tend to focus on, so from that point, from the point of where I was disgraced and humiliated and suicidal and in despair and without a hope, you know, what happened to me from that point to the point where I am today? You know, what I think happened to me is that it was a divine intervention, and that was hard too, because when I first arrived, I arrived in the rooms in the summer of 2004 after I'd been sent after my second rehab, and of course I had a problem coming to the rooms, because one of my biggest problems, and that's the biggest problem today too I'm facing, but I'm getting better, I have to be humbled, because I have a problem with my mind. I'm always better than everybody, you know, and it wasn't an exception when I came here, you know. And I think that I did all those things, like the degree and the cars and the wife. It was for me to actually believe that I was better than you. But inside, I didn't. I knew that it wasn't true. So when I came to the rooms, I think humility was a big thing. I didn't believe what I was hearing. I thought I was better than everyone. I'm educated. I'm smart. These people don't know what they're saying. You know, I went through all of that in order to justify me not having to be here. And it's funny because I just saw the chairperson, Sean, and he said something at a meeting one time. I don't really know him, but something he said stuck in my head because of the way I am. I had to hear that because I thought in a way that I was God, you know, and I had trouble with that. And one time I heard him share that the only thing you have to know about God is that you're not Him, you know. And that, to me, when I heard that, it's so simple, but to me it was a novel idea that the only thing I have to know is that I'm not God, and that's it. And once that sank in, then I could open my heart to God that would evolve for me daily, you know. And it has evolved from the moment I came in. It evolved, like I said, from me being God to me not being God, and to some other presence being God. First the people that surrounded me, the people that took me out for coffee, people that gave me support, the people that told me not to give up. It was the first sort of sense of God that I had, and my sense of God now is that it is still a person. It's not the rooms themselves, but it's a person that expresses himself or herself to me through the meetings and through the people. You know, that's where I have to. That's why I have to. For me, I have to engage with the people, and I have to be around the people like yourselves, because that's where I get my divine message. You know, it's through people that I talk to. I get the messages and the things that I'm supposed to do sort of come out in the people that I speak to. You know, so that's how it evolved for me when I came in. I started to believe. You know, I still had trouble, but I started to believe, and I did start doing the things the people suggested. I did start doing the service. But I'll be honest, when I started doing the service, it was because I noticed that doing the service, doing the chairing, and doing the sharing a lot was a good way to get attention. It was a good way for people to get to know me. It was a good way to be the center of attention. You know, and that's something that I always wanted. When I was growing up as a child, I wanted to be liked, and I wanted people to know me, and I wanted to fit in. And I noticed when I came in, any service I did, I got that. So, you know, that's the way it began. You know, it was as a means to get attention. But whatever it was, it's, you know, I believe now that whatever you do, the program slowly will get you, no matter how you proceed, you know, whether it's with selfishness, with greed, with attention seeking, it doesn't matter. It's the path. And that was the path for me, you know. So I remember the first year that I was in, I accepted to share at like four or five meetings in a row. Five nights in a row at different meetings. And I thought I was like the star. I thought I was like a rock star. I was on tour, you know. And it was easy to share because it was a lot about image. And when I look back on it, I'm pretty embarrassed about that. But it's okay. It did what it had to. And now it's a bit different. I still do service, and I see how the service has helped me. It has helped me. For instance, being a treasurer has helped me because it has helped me to be responsible with money. because all my life I was always privileged in that sense, but I never understood any value of money because I thought it came so easily that I had no respect for money and I didn't know how to be responsible with money. I had money, but I didn't even know how to pay a bill. I used to let my mom pay bills for me and take care of all. I was totally irresponsible. And nowadays I'm a lot more responsible with that. And I learned that being a treasurer at a meeting, I learned that making coffee is important because people depend on me being there, and I have to be there. And I am there the same way that I am here tonight. It's being responsible, and I try to do that today. That's what service is about. And what else can I say? So I do that, and I understand that the steps are important too. And my view on the steps has evolved a lot too. You know, like I said, I have a problem with humility, and I'm a very arrogant person when I first came in. And I honestly, when I first read the steps, I didn't understand what it meant really. But I did understand that when I read like six and seven, I said, wow, at least I don't have to do I only have to do 10 steps because I don't have any defects of character. I'm such a nice person that's been victimized by the world. You know, I really did believe that I didn't need to do 6 and 7, you know. So it has changed, And the first time I did a 16-week intensive, the fourth step really changed a lot. It changed the view that I have of myself. It really changed the outlook that I had about my life and what had happened in my life and who was responsible for the things that happened in my life. It totally changed my whole outlook on what had happened to me in the past. You know, that wow. You know, it's so ironic. It sounds so it sounds so impossible to believe, but I needed the steps, you know, to learn, you know, to make me see that nobody hurt me in life. It wasn't everybody else that was responsible for what had happened to me, that it was me. And it sounds so, you know, ridiculous for somebody like me that I thought I'm educated, but I learned when I came here that I am very educated in a specific subject. But what I learned here is that in the education of life, I'm a very uneducated person, you know, and my degree in life, I'm doing it here in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's where I'm learning life, the school of life, you know. It's through the steps that I learned about life, you know, because of my arrogance and my education. I thought, you know, that I know everything. You know, you're wrong. You can't be right. I'm smarter than you. You hurt me. You're to blame. You know, I really, really lived in that, you know, for the longest time. I really, really did. And it hurt me a lot to be that way. It hurt me a lot, and I hurt a lot of people being that way. Because I didn't listen to anybody. I didn't care about anybody's opinion. It was only me that mattered, and what I said that mattered, and what I believed that mattered. And it's the actual process of understanding and doing a bit the 12 steps that I've learned, you know, that I have learned that I'm just a normal person. I'm an average person. That's all that I want to be. I don't want to be better anymore than every. I don't want to be better. I don't want to think that I'm better, but I don't want to feel less than, you know. My life was about feeling inferior to everybody, but portraying that I'm superior to everybody. That's been the story of my life. And I did anything that it took to portray myself as superior, no matter how inferior I felt. As long as you didn't see the inferiority complex, as long as you saw, you know, what I wanted you to see. And what the steps have shown me is that I'm allowed to be, to show you how I feel. I'm allowed to express how I feel. And I'm allowed to just want to be an average person, you know, that's the same as all of you. That's not better, and that's not any worse. And I'm allowed to be helped by you. I'm allowed to help. I think it's important for me to help out other people, because I have problems with that too. I don't have problems, I realized, helping like I did all my life in a superficial way, you know. I even that I carried on into the rooms. In the newcomers, you know, I was like a taxi too. I still am sometimes, driving people around. I like doing that, you know. But even that, I realized when I came in, I did it for attention. Not attention, but for once in my life, I got people to like me, you know. No matter what it took, I want you to like me. So if I had to drive 6 people after a meeting in 6 different areas of town, I'd do it, you know. And I thought that's helping the newcomer, you know. That is helping the newcomer. But today I realize I have to go a step further. I have to, for myself, I have to, in order to understand my inner workings and my feelings, I have to be able to relate to the newcomer, how I felt when I came in, how I feel sometimes, and my feelings, I have to relate them to them so that hopefully they could get a message that helps them. And that I have trouble with. You know, money, yeah, here, I'll give you money. You need money, yeah, you go buy yourself a meal, or I'll drive you, or, you know, anything of that nature. And now I've been around long enough to realize, wow, that's the pattern of the past. With my wife, with people, you know, oh, here, I bought you this, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. And then when I was hurt, it was, look what I did for you, and look how you pay me back. But today I understand that's all I could give was, I gave love or feelings or emotions or affection through money and through material and through superficial things, because I was incapable of giving affection and love and kindness from inside, you know. And today that's what I'm trying to work on. I'm trying to work on that through the steps, to try and unravel all those feelings inside. And I'm trying to be able to show that I'm real, you know, to break down that the image and the facade that I took so many years to build, you know. And I did that for a few years in the rooms too. How's it going? Yeah, it's great. It's great. Everything's great. I'm always the one that smiles and my life's great. I never want to show that I'm, you know, that I'm not well, that I'm not feeling well. That's part of the image too. It's okay for me to say that I'm not well, and I'm going through this and that. You know, that's where I am today, and I think that's my goals, to keep doing what I'm doing. You know, to keep doing service. I helped a few other members to start a meeting. That's not something that I like to do, you know. I'm a lazy person by nature, very lazy, you know, and that's something that it's okay for me to say today. Procrastination, I learned through the fourth step, is probably one of my biggest defects. You know, I can have a cup of coffee at home and leave it in the sink for months, and that's not a joke, it's serious. That's one of my biggest defects too, and I'm trying to work at that. And I did another 12-step intensive, and it was totally different from the first one, because now I was on the second one. I was working from the basis that I'm responsible for the things that happen, And now let's delve further and let's do it even more a closer look at how I can resolve those things and how I can get better and how I can make amends. You know, I still have a very, very big problem with humility. Like I said, I'm still trying to attempt to make amends to people, and I have a lot of trouble with that. I have a lot of trouble, but it's getting better. I've done a few, and it was one of the most humbling things for me in my life, because I don't think I've ever admitted to a person in my life that I was wrong, that I made a mistake. Never. Because that equated to giving away total power to another human being. And I could never fathom ever doing that. And I've done a few, but I still have a lot of trouble doing it. Anyway, I don't want to talk much longer, but all I want to say is that if somebody's new and you heard what I said, I hope that you got the main crux of my speech is, I hope that I transmitted from the privilege that I was given to where I ended up, how I was disgraced because of alcoholism. The message is that no matter what happened, at the point I came in, life changed because I did the steps and I did some meetings and I associated with the people, and I was given the privilege to believe in God, in a higher power other than myself, you know. And things happened to me. As I was not focused so much on myself, I didn't realize it, but my whole life got transformed because I was working on other things, caring about other people, and by default, I didn't even notice that God put a new life in my path. You know, the career that I lost was replaced by one that I think I'm better suited to, which is to teach 18, 19-year-old kids, you know, in CEGEP, about you know, human biology and human physiology, you know. And to me, it's beautiful because I enjoy doing that. I enjoy like seeing them learn, and I enjoy seeing them have some sort of aspirations in life. I like seeing that because it reminds me of my teenage years when I had no aspiration. You know, I had aspirations, but they were suppressed. They were taken away by alcohol, you know. And although I went through school, I went through school not because I had aspiration, not because I had the passion for it and the joy. I didn't experience that as I was going through it. And now God's given me a chance to see other kids that are 18, 19 at that critical stage of life, and how it should be to go through school and have dreams and aspirations, you know. And to me, it shows me that even at 40, I just turned 40, that the dreams and aspirations don't end when you're 40. They're not only at 18, 17, 16. I have dreams and aspirations, and I'm lucid enough and I'm sober enough to be able to experience them and strive for them and achieve them. And that's the message for the person that's new and struggling, that one day at a time, anything is possible for all of us, you know, if we're only patient enough and if we can stay like sober, away from alcohol, for one day only, just for today. And that I wish for you all that I've received because of this program. Thank you.